Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
We're going to be in mainly the book of Joel and the book of Acts today. We're going to start out in the book of Joel. It's part two of Mission Impossible, not impossible, but Mission Possible, part two. All right, so we began that last week just talking about the Holy Spirit, but also just the mission that God has called us to as believers. And was that mission just for the early church? Or does that also extend to us today? It still extends to us today. And we kind of worked our way through that, that God still expects or is calling his church to share the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ with the world around us. It is part of who he is, his very nature, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And if we are to be like God, created in his image, it also means that we carry that mission also within our own heart and life to share that message of hope with the world around us. And so we talked about that, and that really is an impossible mission unless we have the Spirit's help, right? And so what was our instruction for the week? What were we supposed to do this week? We were supposed to read the book of Acts, all right? Was that good? Yeah, okay. Read the book of Acts, and we were supposed to just wait, right? They were to wait, and so we were to read the book of Acts and seek that within our own life and say, God, will you refresh me, empower me with your Holy Spirit as he did the early church? So that's where we covered last week. This week I want us to go a little bit more into the day of Pentecost, what that looked like, what that means for us still today. I was reading one of my books, just on missions, and it defined that to be Pentecostal or Pentecost can be defined as the people of God moving in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission of God. Okay? To be Pentecostal or Pentecost, however you want to define that, is defined as the people of God moving in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission of God. So the idea, though, of God empowering his people to do his mission is not a new concept. So I want us to look at a couple examples before we pray here. And so the first one that Chris is going to put up on the screen is Numbers 11:29, if you want to follow along there as well. I'm just going to give a little synopsis of that. But Moses is leading the people of Israel. They're in the wilderness. And, you know, estimates say, you know what, there's probably millions of people that were part of this group that he was leading in the wilderness. And if you think you have a tough job, try to lead millions of cranky people in the wilderness that don't have food and water, and they're trying to live out in the wilderness in tents, okay? And it kind of was getting to Moses, and Moses is kind of like, I've had it. I'm quit, you know, And God says, well, I'm going to raise up 70 elders, 70 men that are going to help you lead. And I'm going to put my Spirit on them as I have on you. I'm going to place my Spirit upon them. And so he brings these men gather. They come before the temple of God, the tent of God. And God places his Spirit upon them that day. And they prophesied. It says that they didn't prophesy after that day, but that day they prophesied. And some of them were upset with Moses and said, you know what, these guys are speaking, prophesying, and it was kind of bothering some of the people. And if you can pull up that verse, Chris, Numbers 11:29, this is what Moses says. Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. So even all the way back during the time of Moses, we have the promise, and I believe that he was speaking prophetically that it would be God's will that at one point in history, at some point, that God was not just going to place his Spirit upon certain select few, like Moses, but that God's will would be that he's going to place his spirit upon all people, okay? Upon all that would believe. And then we have another example in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 through 7. We have the story of Samuel. Well, it's 1 Samuel, but it's a story of Saul. And Saul would be the first king of Israel. To have a king was not God's idea. In God's mindset, he was to be their king. But they wanted to be like the rest of the world around them, and they begged God for a king, and so God says, okay, I'll give you a king. And so they selected Saul. And he was anointed by Samuel. And anointed means that they took a ram's horn that was full of oil, and they dumped it over your head, okay? All right? So you really had greasy hair for the day. But it wasn't that. That was symbolic. But it was a symbolic that now the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was resident upon their life. And we use that terminology, anointed. Okay? And so Saul, after being anointed, he would go and he would prophesy with the prophets. So there was this prophetic speech that now was upon his life that wasn't there before, as God's Spirit anointing was upon his life, and he would then lead the people of Israel. He started off good, but then he kind of got off track. But God placed his Spirit upon him, and then we see in 1 Samuel 16:13, I'm just going to hit these real quickly, we see Samuel now would anoint David. Okay, and David was not, he was the youngest of his brothers. All the brothers come in before Samuel, and Samuel says, nope, not the one, not the one, not the one. Finally, he says, do you have any more? And he says, well, there's David. He's the youngest. You know, he's not the tallest one and the most standout one. But yeah, he's out there watching the sheep. Samuel says, bring him in. And God says, he's the one. And Samuel anoints him, and the Spirit of God would rest upon David's life. And from there, shortly after that, he would go out and he would take on who? Goliath. The seasoned veteran military of Israel shrunk back as they saw Goliath come out to taunt them. And David shows up there to bring food to his brothers and to those that were serving. And the Spirit of God comes upon David, and David says, you know what? He's defying God that I serve and love. And he goes before Saul, says, I'm going to go out and fight the guy with a sling and some stones, right? No armor, no sword. And he takes on Goliath, and God would bless his ministry. David had his mistakes along the way, but it was the Spirit of God that rested upon him that allowed David to rule and to be the king of the people of Israel. And so I want us to go to Joel chapter 2. It's right towards the end of your Old Testament there. Joel was a minor prophet. Minor meaning that you have the nine minor prophets in the end there. Several books that are called the Minor Prophets. Jeremiah and Isaiah are the big ones. And then you have the Minor Prophets towards the end. And Joel is one of those. And through the prophet Joel, God speaks this. He says, afterward, verse 28 of chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit upon who? All people. Are you all people? Okay, just check him. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So ask the Lord's blessing over his word. Father, we just thank you for this day, and we just invite your presence here today. And just as we explore your word and apply it to our hearts this day, I pray you'd speak to us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Joel in the Old Testament says, you know what, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all people, all flesh. Now let's go to Acts chapter 1 and 2. The last part of Luke, Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the gift that the Father has promised. So we looked at that last week. And then he writes the book of Acts, Luke does. And he says, wait in Jerusalem. He repeats that again. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the rest of the world. Then we come to Acts chapter 2. They're meeting in an upper room. What are they doing in that upper room? Praying. Okay, they're waiting on God as they were instructed and seeking the face of God. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, the day of Pentecost was what? What was it? Anybody know? It was a feast. It was a celebration. Okay? And it was 50 days after Passover, Pentecost was. So that's where it gets the name Pentecost, is 50 days after Passover. And it was celebration of the wheat harvest. Okay? And we do that in our cultures and in rural Nebraska and the Midwest. There's a kind of a celebration that goes on, you know, when the harvest comes in. We have harvest fests, right? And, you know, the Germans like it and the Czechs like it. But we celebrate the harvest in different ways. And so Pentecost was a celebration of the wheat harvest. It was an annual celebration for the Jewish people. So it's on this celebration, on the day of Pentecost, they are in the upper room praying. Okay? And suddenly there was a sound like a blowing of a violent wind that came from heaven. So the sound was there. I don't know if the effect of it was there as well, but definitely the sound was there. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, okay, that separated and came to rest on each of them. So there you get some Old Testament symbols there of the Holy Spirit. Okay, as he was in the temple, there was the lamps and the fire. Okay. And then verse 4, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, they were already Christians. They were already serving God. God's Spirit was in them. But now there's this empowering presence of the Holy Spirit that comes upon them, to where it's described as they're filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in, some translations say, other tongues, right? Interchangeably, you can put other languages there. Okay, we don't use that word tongue a lot. If we hear somebody speaking in Spanish, or you hear somebody speaking in English, right? Or you hear somebody French or German, we don't say, you just say, oh, they're speaking in another tongue. We say they're speaking in another language. Okay? So they were speaking in other languages. Some of those were understood by the audience, as we'll see, that was there. And they began to speak. It wasn't on their own. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through them, as it would be like prophecy, or even just speaking, feeling that prompting of the Holy Spirit and sharing with a friend something that God has placed upon our heart. It would be no different that God is prompting and providing what to say. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, were God-fearing Jews. Why were they there? Celebrating Pentecost, right? They had come for the feast, the celebration. They liked their celebrations. So they were there from not just Jerusalem, but from Judea and even parts far, far away. They had come, these Jewish believers had come to Jerusalem. They were there at that moment and time. Do you think God kind of knows what he's doing? So not only would Jerusalem have this representation, this testimony of God's Spirit and power, but now God-fearing Jews from all over were there for that day. What do you think would happen when their life was touched and they go back to their communities? You think they'd take that message with them? Yeah. I think God knew what he was doing. Verse 6. When they heard that sound, a crowd came together. So there was something out of the ordinary is taking place here. And so the crowd begins to gather. Because each one heard them speaking in his own language, they were utterly amazed. And they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? So now some of these foreigners, Jews, hear them speaking in their language and realize these men don't know their language, but they're speaking in my language. And what are they saying? How is it that we hear them speaking in our own native language? Perinthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Perga, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Cretans were there. All right? Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language, in our own tongue. They hear them declaring the praises of God. Now, however, some of them made fun of them and said, oh, they've had too much wine. They're babbling. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel that we just read. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I want us to pull out a few points from this morning, and then we're going to respond just to allow God just to speak to us and to refresh us. The first thing that we see here is that Pentecost celebrated the wheat harvest, but now it symbolizes the spiritual harvest. It was a celebration of the harvest, right? The wheat harvest. But now Pentecost would take on a new, that it would celebrate people from every nation that was representative of that day coming to know Christ and know God's saving power. It would celebrate a spiritual harvest. And I know one of the questions that I grew up with, and I grew up in the church. I grew up in a church that talked about the Holy Spirit, talked about Pentecost. Maybe some of you have, maybe some of you haven't. But I always thought, you know, in our day and age, some cultures have more of an issue with tongues or speaking another language than others, okay? And I thought, God, why this, you know, tongues or language? I mean, it was obvious that some of the people there thought it was kind of weird too, right? Because they thought that the people were drunk, had too much wine. Peter says, no, this is what was prophesied by Joel. But why other languages? You ever thought about that? I ask those questions. I ask a lot of questions. The only thing that makes sense to me, I've heard a lot of different things, why tongues, because God wants you to be yielded to it, because it can't be of you. I've heard a lot of different things. But I think it goes back to the purpose of the Holy Spirit, that God was going to pour out His Spirit upon all people. What was the purpose that God was going to do that in the first place? Spread the word. You, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to all parts of the earth, to all people of all languages and tongues. So when people spoke in those other languages, I think it was a reminder, and still is today, that the purpose of the Holy Spirit and God's empowering presence isn't so that I get goosebumps. Okay? It's not so that people fall down or they dance. It's a reminder that God is placing His Spirit upon us so that we can be a witness to the world around us, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and language that there is. That is why God has given us His Spirit. That to me makes sense. To me, if it doesn't to you, that's great, but that's something that makes sense to me. And I sometimes like things to be a little bit logical. Okay? And so I see Pentecost, it symbolizes the spiritual harvest, and even tongues, the speaking in other languages, aligns with that and says, you know what? This is why I'm giving you this gift. So whether it's your neighbor across the street or I'm on a missions trip and ministering and sharing Christ to people that have a language, maybe I'm having to use a translator, that God can flow through me and empower me to do His work. All right? It symbolizes a spiritual harvest. Number two, the events of Pentecost fulfilled what was written by the prophet Joel. It's fulfillment, wasn't it? It wasn't something new that had just come on the scene, that they had no idea what is happening. But it was fulfillment of prophecy that goes all the way back to Joel or even back to Moses, right? All God's people. I wish that all God's people would prophesy and that God would place His Spirit upon them. But it was fulfillment of what God had spoken earlier. So for God, this was something that God had in mind from the very beginning. He was going to, the third person of the Godhead or the Trinity, He was going to place within people's hearts and lives and empower them to do His work that He had called them to do, His mission, which in our own strength is impossible, but with God's help it is possible. Number three, the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers believers for ministry and for service. God would use ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. God would use ordinary people like you and me to accomplish extraordinary things. All right? God would use you and me to accomplish extraordinary things. Okay, you don't have to go to a phone booth and put on your Superman suit, right? You know, and the Marvel movies are a big thing right now, right? They've been going on for the last, 6 years or whatever. Iron Man, Spider-Man. We're already on like 3-4 different Spider-Man movies. And now it's the Avengers that are out there, right? But they were all ordinary people usually until something happened in their life. They got bit by a spider or they got this chemical, experiment, and so they changed their chemistry. All ordinary people until something happened in their life. But see, the examples that we see in Scripture is that God would take ordinary people like you and me, fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people like you and me, and did extraordinary things. Can God use you? Absolutely. Chris is going to pull up some examples here, just in a couple areas. In the area of evangelism, the church was very small in the book of Acts as it began, as they were meeting in that upper room. We're talking a couple hundred believers. Okay, but on the day of Pentecost, how many are saved? 3,000. That is good church growth right there, okay? 3,000 are saved, okay? Half of Crete is saved that day, right? And comes to know Christ. In Acts 4:4, now the church has grown to 5,000. Okay, not quite double, but they're getting close. They're up to 5,000. That's some pretty good church growth. God was enabling these apostles, these early believers, to reach the community around them. Not only were they reaching people, but also healings were taking place. You go to Acts chapter 3, and this really threw a wrench in things because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They go out, and they go by this beggar that they probably had passed many, many times going to the temple. And you know what? Jesus had probably passed him as well in Jerusalem. And hadn't healed them. But Peter and John, after Pentecost, go by this gate, beautiful, on their way to the temple to pray. And the man is doing what? He's begging, right? Alms for the poor. And Peter says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he takes him by the hand. The man gets up, and he does a happy dance, doesn't he? He goes around leaping and jumping and praising God. Well, this created a big stir because they healed him in the name of Jesus, who the Jewish people had just crucified, and so it threw the whole city into a stir. In fact, Peter and John would be brought before the Sanhedrin. They'd be warned. They'd be threatened, and it would then lead to them being beat and with whips later on. They would be told to speak no more in the name of Jesus. But see, nobody could deny the fact that some ordinary people took time to pray for a crippled man that had been crippled since when? From birth. And he was now, it said over 40. It's kind of like, because he's over 40, he's past being healed. But he's over 40. But God healed him. And nobody could deny the fact because they knew this guy. He'd been there every day. Everybody had seen him. But now he was healed. And he was a testimony. They could deny Jesus, they could deny everything, but they couldn't deny the fact that this man had been healed by the power of God as the Holy Spirit had flowed through ordinary men. Acts 5:12, it says that the apostles continued to do many signs and wonders. In other words, miraculous signs that God did through these ordinary men. Now, when Jesus was with them, it was Jesus that was doing the healing, right? And the miraculous signs, but now it's these apostles, Peter, James, and John, that are now, as the Holy Spirit is upon them, God's enabling them to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. And then boldness. That's the third one. Evangelism, healings, boldness. Acts 4:31 says that these believers that were filled in Acts 2 are now gathered together. They have this prayer meeting. They've been threatened not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. They go together to pray. And as they were praying, it says the Holy Spirit filled them again. So you may say, you know what? I think I was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, back in 05 or back in, you know, a long time ago. I'm done. You know what? That's what really bothers me with growing up in a Pentecostal church is people can say, oh, yeah, I was filled with the Holy Spirit back and whatever. But they've never led anybody to Christ. There's no evidence of the power of God in their life. It's kind of like, great, I'm glad that happened to you, but what's God doing in your life today? Is there the power and the presence of God upon your life today? Because that's what ultimately matters, right? When's the last time you shared Christ? When's the last time you sensed the Holy Spirit in boldness come upon your life that you would share your faith with the world around you? But Acts 4:31 says they were filled with boldness and spoke the word of God boldly. Ordinary people now doing extraordinary things. Peter, one that wasn't willing to, he had some great leadership gifts, but when he was questioned about if he knew Jesus, he denied Jesus, what, three times, right? So he had chicken in him, right? Okay, we talked about that last week. But see, now on the day of Pentecost, where there's a huge crowd, and there's a lot of people are saying, what just happened here? Peter stands up under boldness and with confidence and shares with that crowd that was hostile and edgy, and he shares to them what has happened, what has taken place. That wasn't of himself. That was of the Holy Spirit flowing through an ordinary guy like you and me. I love the example of Gideon. That's found in Judges chapter 6. So you're going to have to go back into your Old Testament. About six books in. I think I'm right on that. But Gideon was one of the judges that God would raise up after Joshua would die. The people of Israel would kind of do whatever they wanted to, and they'd go into sin, and so God would raise up a judge, a religious leader, to bring them back to God, and so they'd serve God during the time of the judge would die, and then they'd go back into sin. And then God would raise up another judge. That happened six times. But God raises up Gideon. And Gideon was, he had a poor image of himself. He was the youngest in his tribe and his clan. Basically, socially, he wasn't anybody, okay? And one day, he's in his wine press threshing wheat. Why would you be in a wine press threshing wheat? Anybody want to know? That would maybe be one thing. It's because the Philistines were, the enemy was there, and so the only way that they could harvest the grain is if they did it secretly when their enemy wasn't watching. So they did it in the wine press. So he's there cowardly threshing his grain. And God says, I want to raise you up to deliver my people from the oppression of the enemies. Gideon says, who, me? Who am I? I'm not a leader. Nobody looks to me as a leader. And I don't think Gideon saw himself as a leader. But says, yeah, God, I'm going to place my spirit upon you. And Gideon says, well, you're going to have to give me some kind of sign. So he puts out wool fleece in the morning, and it was wet outside, but the fleece was dry. And the next Gideon says, well, that's not enough. It's going to have to be the reverse. So woke up the next day, and the grass was dry, but the fleece was wet. And finally, Gideon realizes, okay, God, you're speaking to me. And so he goes and destroys the Baal and the Asherah idols that Israel had given themselves to, so they weren't serving God. His dad was among them, one of them, upset. I mean, they were ready to kill Gideon. But God places his spirit upon Gideon, and he destroys all the idols. He calls together an army, and so thousands show up. And Gideon says, well, we got thousands against a lot of thousands. Not very much in our favor. And God says, you know what? We got too many people. Send them all. Send the guys home that don't want to fight. So a bunch leave. God says, you still got too many people to win the battle. And Gideon says, man. So they had them drink water, and the ones that got down on all fours like a dog to drink, they sent them home. Only the ones that got on their knees and looked up and drank water, they stayed, 300 of them, to take on an army of thousands. But God's Spirit, in fact, if you pull up that verse, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. Clothed Gideon, came upon Gideon. In the Hebrew, it's actually that the Spirit put Gideon on his clothes. He sounded the trumpets, and the army actually turned on themselves. As they came down in the early morning light, the army turned on themselves. They basically killed each other, and the battle was won. But God went with Gideon and he clothed him with his power and with his anointing. Gideon was an ordinary guy like you and me. He wasn't a superhero. But God was able to use him to do his purpose and his will, probably because he was willing to do something crazy for God and to be obedient to God. Lastly, number four in your program there, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is intended for all believers. You know, the Old Testament said, you know, it was just, you know, Moses and Saul and David and Samuel. But then we have the prophecy in Numbers that it's God's heart is all people, and Joel, all flesh. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're a slave or if you're a governor. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or brown. None of that matters. God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And God can even speak through a donkey if he wants to. Okay? But he says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And Acts chapter 2, 38 through 39. So Peter preaches. It says that they were cut to the heart with conviction at his message. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So change direction. Take that 180. You realize one day you're driving down the road, and you ever done that? You're going down the road and you realize, oh, man, I'm going the wrong way. I did that yesterday. I was going to go to Doan on Friday to the Haddock Center, and I realized I'm going to church. I'm going down the wrong way. I had to do a U-turn. Repent. Take a turn of direction. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who's this gift for? This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, whom the Lord your God would call. Do you think that includes you? Yeah. We're kind of maybe far off, a couple thousand years later. But God has called us. He has placed His Spirit in us the moment we accept Him as our Lord and our Savior. But He wants to also empower us, anoint us with His Spirit, so that we can carry out His mission, His heart, to reach the world around us. It's an impossible mission, folks. The apostles realized that, and we realize that. We need God's Spirit. We need His favor. We need His anointing upon our life. God doesn't want us struggling on our own. He wants to fill us with His Spirit. I'm going to have Denise come. The needs of our world are great. People need to be saved. They need to be set free from addictions, evil spirits. They need hope in the midst of despair and trials. You know, there's a lot of hurt in our world. What are you going to do with the neighbor that comes to you and says, you know what, my marriage is falling apart. I just caught my husband cheating on me. And she's in tears. She's a wreck. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when your coworker finds out that their children has just been tragically killed in a car accident? What are you going to do? God has given us His Spirit. He's placed His Spirit within us to allow us to be His instruments of righteousness. Mission is possible with the Spirit. What was amazing to the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, they brought Peter, James, and John. It says that they were unschooled and uneducated. So they had had some schooling. It's not like they hadn't gone to public school. They had done that. But they hadn't gone through the training of being a rabbi. Okay? They didn't make the cut. That was the hope of every Jewish boy, to make the cut so you could be a rabbi. But there was a process. They didn't make the cut. somebody didn't believe in them. Somebody didn't see the potential in their life to pursue God. But Jesus did. And so he took these rough guys that were fishermen, tax collectors, pretty much ordinary people, and he kind of turned the world upside down for them. And I believe God still wants to do that through his people. Amen. You all to stand this morning. I'm going to have Gil and Emily, if you'd come, Yolanda, if you would come. We typically just encourage you to come forward if you have a need or request this morning, but I'm hoping that you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If not, we'll take care of that this morning. We'll pray with you. But if you're needing just a refreshing of the Holy Spirit on your life, I'm just going to encourage you to stand in front here. We're just going to say, God, would you come and fill me with your Spirit? If you say, you know what, I don't know if I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I've had that. I would like, I know God's Spirit is within me, but I want his power in my life. I want to be a better witness. And you join the others that are coming this morning. I'm just going to invite you to come. I'm not going to force you. I'm just going to ask you to come. And we're just going to wait upon the Lord to hear this morning. Seek God's face. I don't know if you want to be up here. But would you come? Denise is going to lead us in a song that we've done. But I'm just going to invite you to come. And I'm just going to kind of float around. I'll pray with people.